So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it, all about control. And if you can take it, all about your stand. And if you can play it, it's all about pain. And who's gonna make it? I am the game, you don't wanna play me. I am control, no way you can shake me. I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. Look over your shoulder, ready to run, like a craven thing from a smoking gun. I am the game, and I make the rules. So move on out, you can die like a fool. Try to figure out what the moon's gonna be. Come on over, sucker, why don't you ask me? Don't you forget there's a price you can pay. Cause I am the game and I want to play.
They say what some things cannot be unseen. I was watching some news and they just had that VMA performance on them. That's like really.
The whole Miley thing with Robin Thicke.
Yeah.
Did you watch that? Yeah. That's...
Well, I didn't watch the show. Lord knows enough people were complaining about it and talking about it. Okay, it came on the news, and I was like, all right, let's see what this is. And there it was. It was like, just some of you all look at it and go, really? Why?
Well, I see Miley Cyrus being the next Amanda Bynes. I said she's going to end up in a psycho ward somewhere trying to get treatment for whatever's wrong with her. I tell you what, she does drugs. She admits she does drugs and everything else. It's clearly obvious from the way that she thinks she performs now. You know, the only people that like her are the black rappers. Now, you know, I'm not trying to make this a racist thing, but, you know, she has lost her audience everywhere. And, it's just amazing to me. And it never ceases to amaze me. I actually saw a comment earlier. They had a discussion on Facebook about it. And I actually saw a comment earlier. Where's Billy Ray and all this? Why isn't he doing something to help that girl? You know,
let me point out two things here. That girl was beyond help as soon as Billy Ray decided to put her on TV and make her a star. It was all about Billy Ray's own ego and keeping himself relevant. That's why they came up with the whole Hannah Montana thing, with Billy Ray being a part of it. And the second thing is, now he's 21. What's he going to do? You know, it's not his problem at this point. He's her dad, but he can't do anything to her. She's over age. Let her deal with it, you know? I just thought it was kind of humorous. I was pretty disgusted myself. And Robin Thicke, I've never liked that guy anyway, but,
I know it's not what I was talking about, but I just had to laugh. You know, some people are offended, some people are disappointed, and I'm watching it going, I don't get it.
I tell you.
The dancing is horrible, they're lip-syncing, it's like the worst high school production ever with a touch. I mean, I was watching it sitting there thinking, doesn't she have choreographers? Come on, what she does for a living? She can't even dance. She can sing. And I just watch it thinking, you know, the only thought going through my head is she's ready to, you know, take all her money and disappear. And this is one hell of a way to do it. You know, just flame out and set your hair, mess yourself up, and then just go somewhere where nobody recognizes you, but, you know, you're flamed out.
I mean, I totally get it. And, you know, I also really get me help with going down it, Rob. I mean, I actually really get, you know, these kids are on Disney, and once they quit being kids and they lose that Disney love affair, they're forgotten about. There's a thousand people that have been Disney stars that just disappeared. You know, so what you see today with a lot of these Disney stars is they try to break out and try to assume an adult role, hoping that will keep them from being insignificant. They're used to that star treatment. Selena Gomez comes to mind, you know, with Miley Cyrus. They're about the same age. They were both Disney stars. But you don't see Selena Gomez out there doing this crap. And Selena Gomez is being taken serious as an adult. Miley Cyrus is, people are looking at her like she's nothing but a thug wannabe who's on dope. I mean, that's the size of it. There's no respect for her left. And I think it's kind of sad because she really was a good role model that had a good future ahead of her. And I just don't see what's going to be a great future. You know, she'll be identified and labeled now and not in a way that she really should want. So, you know, what the hell? But, you know, you're right. People don't come to this show to talk about this stuff. What they come to this show about is to talk about everything that's wrong in this world and what we're going to do about it. And, you know, Ed, I've got to start with local things like I usually do on Monday nights. Wave 3 is carrying the story. Courier Journal is carrying the story. There's a reason I mentioned both of these people as sources. And here's what I want to talk about first. The Louisville Metro Council, primarily districts 1 through 7, include Barbara Shanklin, David James, Sherry Bryan Hamilton, Atticus Scott. These folks are looking to put a ban on alcohol sales in liquor stores after 2 a.m. Now, the Metro Council is actually considering this cutoff of 2 a.m. at liquor stores, and primarily in that district, because that district has more liquor stores that are open after 2 a.m. than anywhere else in the metro area. So, when you look at this, in your opinion, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Mr. Martin.
Yeah, I'm losing you, too. I don't know if anybody's telling you in the queue, but maybe it's me. I might have to call back in because I can barely hear what you're thinking.
Well, you're cutting off. You're cutting in and out.
Okay. Let me reload and try again.
All right, buddy. Okay. I think we may have a bad connection with Mr. Martin. And if it is on this end, somebody just let me know. I'll be more than happy to take care of it. You know, but we're looking at this proposed liquor store ban. And it's interesting to me because essentially seven council districts 1 through 7, let's try this again. It looks like Mr. Martin is back with us. Ed, are you there?
Yeah, you're still, for whatever reason, what I'm hearing and picking up is not, I can barely hear you and the static's getting worse.
Hold on one second.
Any better?
That's much better.
Huh, that's interesting. All I did was switch mics. That's strange. Okay, well, let's stay with this then. I went in and switched the microphone.
They probably put a bug in your other mic, you know. It happens.
Well, you never know around this place, I tell you what. But, you know, talking about this liquor store ban, it's really interesting to me because they want to cut off the liquor stores. And remember, this only applies to liquor stores. They want to cut off liquor store sales at 2 a.m., primarily because districts 1 through 7, which is the West End districts, if you will, are saying that there's too much crime committed at these liquor stores after 2 o'clock. Your thoughts?
You know, bugs to a light. If this is where the crime is occurring, then rather than restrict the liquor stores, why not just put more cops around them? It's like, hey, look, if this is where the criminals are going, you know, to get a 40 or, you know, a bottle of bourbon or whatever, or a pack of smokes, whatever they're going there for, look, if this is where the action is, then by all means, let them gravitate towards that, away from the, you know, the neighborhoods and the sleeping, you know, the kids sleeping, getting ready for school the next day. And don't worry about the time. Just put another cruiser on it. Because if you restrict them to whatever, 2 a.m., it's not like they're, you know, they're still not going to gravitate towards a certain geographical area for there to be a concentration of crime. So, yep, I think if you're saying this is where crime seems to gravitate towards these liquor stores, then good. Then you know where the criminals are. It's kind of like like hunting or fishing. You don't throw your line in the water where you don't think there are any fish. But if you know there's a bunch of fish congregating in an area, then that's where you go fishing.
And now for the rest of the story. Because here's the thing. Here's my problem. Because the crime that's being reported in those areas in District 1 through 7 aren't alcohol-related. The crime that's happening in District 1 through 7, the majority of that crime is drug-related. The arrests that they're making are ranging from assault, manufacturing meth, and murder. But it's not because of alcohol. It's because of drugs. And what's really fascinating to me is you've got contrasting stories. This is what I love about mainstream media. If you go to Wave3.com and look at their story on this, Wave 3 said the police stats say that there is a huge concentration of what LMPD calls alcohol and drug-involved arrests from January of 2012 to May of 2013 around these particular liquor stores. They don't specify after 2 o'clock. They just say there's been a huge concentration. You know, so we've got that to look at. And then you go to the Courier-Journal, liberals' favorite media, and what does the Courier-Journal do? They go out there and point out that Carrie Klein, who's a Louisville Metro Police spokeswoman, said that the officials really have to study specific business addresses to determine whether or not they can reduce crime by doing this. You see the big contradiction there? And that's the whole thing. Nobody has done a study on this. This is Sherry Bryan Hamilton trying to play magic again. She has been trying to shut liquor stores in the West End down for a long time. And what's really disturbing to me is how quick these other council members, District 1 through 7, are jumping on this. And I guarantee you Jim King's going to jump on this. And I guarantee you half the Republicans or more are going to vote on this and go ahead and shut the liquor stores down at 2 o'clock. But if the bars and restaurants are still open and allowed to serve alcohol until 4, guess what? Which created a whole new breed of drinking and driving. Because if you can't get your alcohol at 2 o'clock, if you get off of work at 1:30 and you can't get to the liquor store by 2, you're going to drop by the local bar, belt 3, 4, or 5 real quick because you're going to have until 4 o'clock. So you're going to drink a large amount in a short amount of time, and you just became another drunk driving statistic. This has got to be the stupidest thing in the world to me. Because it doesn't have anything to do with alcohol. It's all drugs. What do you think about that one?
Well, I think you've got a point there. I mean, yeah, definitely if somebody's going to get tanked, I would rather see them brown bagging it on the sidewalk or picking it up package and go home and drink it. You know, and additionally, you know, when you go to a bar, it's a lot more expensive too. So, I mean, you know, if you want a beer, and a thing, again, it's almost has a racist overtone to it to me. Mm-hmm. That we're saying, oh, in these neighborhoods with these poor folks, you know, they got a liquor store, they're going to get drunk and misbehave. Like, well, no.
Yeah, you get drunk and misbehave in a bar, not the liquor store.
Sure, some are, and some that go to the Walmart and Kroger, little liquor stores next to their stores, some of them are getting it to get rocked, and some of them at gas stations, their sole intention is to get plastered. You know, that's just, to me, that's damn presumptuous. It's like, well, if you have a liquor store, you know, it's going to cause problems. Well, maybe somebody wants a beer with, you know, with dinner. Maybe somebody just wants to sit in front of the TV, watch the news, or watch Miley Cyrus gyrate. And of course, if they watch that, they probably need a belt of bourbon after that. But,
well, I mean,
It is a package of liquor storage. People want to, you know, I say walking and drinking down the sidewalk. Of course, we'd rather you didn't do that, but it's a package of liquor store. They're taking it home, and I agree with you. In a bar, you know, you got to drink it there. They're not even going to let you leave with it, and you're going to pay four times, five times as much, depending on what kind of drink you're having. It's like, okay, if these neighborhoods are you know, of lower income, then for you know, come on, guys. If somebody wants to stop in and get a six pack, it costs them whatever, you know, $7. But they go to a bar to get it. And you're drinking a six. First off, you're drinking it on site, like you said, and it's going to cost you $12. And you know, just let them live their own lives. And if you cut it off at two, besides, if anybody's drinking, they'll just load up. The night before, it doesn't matter. If somebody, it's packaged liquor. Somebody's going to get it. They'll leave it in the trunk of their car. They'll put it at home. So it's
and the whole thing is, you've got Michael Meyer. He owns Cousins Liquors right there on Hill Street. And, you know, and he's absolutely right. The owner of Cousins Liquors, Michael Meyer, stated that cutting sales off at 2 a.m. would absolutely not reduce crime because, you know, just because you can't get liquor won't keep you from committing a crime. And he's absolutely right. People are showing up in the parking lots probably. You know, there's no doubt in my mind, you know, people are going to loiter where they can. And they're loitering in these parking lots, and they're selling their drugs and committing their crime because they're wasted on meth and everything else. And they're going to blame it on the alcohol because they don't want to deal with the meth problem. That's the scariest thing of all. We've got to go to the phones real quick. We've already got, oh, my goodness. Ken Molman, sir, how are you?
Hey, doing good. Hey, I live up here in northern Kentucky where our last call is 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in Covington, they've got the same problems. The last call is not the problem. The problem is that people are going to be doing drugs and acting like morons. And it doesn't matter if you try to scatter it or if you leave it concentrated, if there's a concentration thing. But from a standpoint of law enforcement and trying to crack down on the bad behavior, is it easier if it's concentrated in one area so you can, like, put more people on duty at that time in that area? Or is it better to have it scattered all over the city so that you've got to have your forces scattered all over the place and longer response times and all that stuff? I don't think that they're solving the problem. They're trying to treat a symptom, but they're not solving the problem. On top of that, exactly, Ed Springsteen, what you said before, we have dry counties right next to mine. And my county is actually dry on Sunday. And so growing up, a friend of mine said, yeah, you know, whenever we wanted to get liquor or booze, we'd go up to your county. And we'd buy, except on Sunday, and then we'd have to go to the next county up that sells on Sunday. People are going to go get alcohol whether they want it, no matter how far they go, right? They want it, they're going to get it. And so, the more miles driven drunk thing absolutely does apply here. You're actually creating bad consequences or unintended consequences to your actions, and it's not solving the core problem. The core problem is that there are some people that are just going to get wasted and act stupid, and whether you scatter that problem all over the city or you leave it concentrated, I think the only thing I would say is that the store owner should do, and maybe they are because I don't know the circumstances, but they should be doing a slightly better job of calling the police when people are loitering in our lots and say, hey, man, there's a guy loitering here. There's a sign that says no loitering. Dude is still loitering here, right?
Well,
and
the problem,
it's hard to crack down on that, but there's a difference between hanging out in the parking lot for 15 minutes and an hour.
But there's also another problem, though, Ken, because you got the whole radio hop going on. LMPD is not going to sit there and stick around these liquor stores. They're going to hide behind a building somewhere and eat their donuts and drink their coffee and laugh and joke about their vacation. I've got pictures of these guys doing this crap out here in the South End. Okay, what's ultimately going on here is they want to run a skeleton crew at night when you have the most problems is at night, and you try to run this skeleton crew, and these guys, for the most part, are doing what's called a radio hop. They're running from one end of the district to another based on what kind of radio calls come in and the level of emergency, so they're not going to spend any time here. They know the problem is at these liquor stores. Then why are they not patrolling these liquor stores? You know, why are these owners not hiring off-duty officers from, say, midnight to 4, you know, for 10 or 12 bucks an hour? You can hire an off-duty cop to sit there in his car from 12 to 4, and it's going to cost you 50 bucks. I mean, if you look at Cousins Liquors, for example, Cousins Liquors says he's going to lose a little bit of business, but it ain't going to hurt him too bad. But, you know, he said his store is only open till 2 o'clock on Friday and Saturday nights, which are the weekend nights where we expect people to party all night or to get their booze late and things like
right.
that. So he's not affecting anything. I mean, the bottom line is they all admit that it's drugs that are the problem. And if you're having
yeah.
a problem
yep.
with drugs at a liquor store, then it's loitering that's the problem, and you've got to control that and take care of that. And I've also got a real serious – well, I also want to point this out. I want you guys to comment on this because this is real serious to me too. How can you pick and choose – who is allowed to succeed and who is not? If you're going to stop selling alcohol in a liquor store at 2 o'clock, then the bar and the restaurant, in order to be fair and equal, must stop selling alcohol at the same time. And, oh, by the way, according to the Courier-Journal, this sales limitation that they're trying to pull will not apply in St. Matthews or Shively because there's, you know, they're the small cities within the city, and they have their own ABC rules and regulations, according to Jim Mims. So, talk to me. What do you think about all of that?
I just don't see it solving the problem. That's what I guess is my big issue with this. The reason that they're loitering in those places is because they're open. So, okay, great, they're closed. Well, they're going to go to Walmart. They're going to go to Meijer. They're going to go somewhere else. And in reality, the funny thing is you're actually moving them from a liquor store, which is an adult establishment, to somewhere that is typically more family-oriented, like a Walmart or a Meijer, or I don't know if you guys have 24-hour diners. I'm sure you do. I just don't know them down there. You're going to move those people out of the liquor stores and into those places instead. And
sure.
Is that really solving the problem? Of course not. You're trying to solve a symptom without solving the problem. It's like, hey, I've had my arm cut off in an accident. I need an aspirin. It hurts. I mean, that doesn't solve
the
problem.
Well, we already know how that works because out here in the South End, they got rid of the Section 8 housing down in the West End of downtown Louisville, Shelby Park, and areas like that. They demolished some of these daggone homes, these Section 8 apartment complexes, and they built them out in the South End. What did they do? They moved the crime from those Section 8 housing downtown, and people are going to get mad. Well, you're picking on poor people. Sorry, folks. The stats say that's the majority of the crime. And, you know, so you're moving that element out here to the South End. Now we're looking every day on the news to see who's killed and who's not. I mean, you know, we picked up all the crime for that. They didn't do anything with crime. They brag about how downtown Louisville is getting better with crime. It's not getting better with crime in this city. They just moved it. Ed Martin, go ahead.
Well, to your question, is it fair? No. I mean, if you seek to, and you want to blame alcohol for behavior, I think it's ill-founded anyway. You know, it's when drugs are the real problem. But if you're going to apply, you're going to say, hey, look, people getting alcohol causes a problem. Then if you want to back somebody off 2 o'clock, then you need to back them all off 2 o'clock because alcohol is alcohol. It's like any chemist will tell you, the alcohol molecule is the same as in any drink, you know, whether you got it over the rocks or it's carbonated. So, yeah, I think it should be applied fairly. And, you know, touching on something Ken said, you know, if you close at 2 a.m., you got somebody working there and they're loitering, I actually would see that almost as a positive. It's like the reason criminals come out to play in those hours is because everybody's asleep and nobody can call the cops on them. If you're open till 4 in the morning just trying to make a living and if you're awake and the lot's illuminated, you've got to set eyes and ears. A guy who's working, trying to make a living. You know, we certainly hope he's not dealing drugs out of the liquor store, but you've got another person awake. You've got another person alert and watching. So, yeah, you close the liquor store at 2 a.m., okay, if I'm a criminal, the first thing I'm going to say is, hey, I'll meet you at the liquor store. I'll meet you in that, you know, that liquor store parking lot at 2:15. Because everybody will be gone and the lights will be turned out, and that's when we can conduct our business.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, and let's face facts here. The criminal element isn't spending most of their time committing crime during the day. Not the serious crime. Most serious crime is taking on at night. And, you know, and I understand if you've got a group of people loitering and stuff, you know, and they're doing drugs and everything else, you're going to have to worry about that criminal element. But if it's not liquor, why are you making the liquor store suffer? This is nothing more than Sherry Bryan Hamilton's own pet project. She's been after liquor stores forever in that end of town. And I'm quite honest with you. You know, Prohibition didn't work, and it didn't work for a reason. If you take the liquor out of those communities, you force these stores to succumb to over-regulation and everything else, ultimately what's going to happen is you're going to see these liquor stores probably close up and move somewhere else that's more friendly, like Shively or St. Matthews or something else. And the element down there that actually does drink, you know, are just going to simply move and go buy it somewhere else. You're not going to stop the drinking part. But admittedly, from all published reports, from Sherry Bryant Hamilton and the first seven districts of the council on to LMPD, the majority of the crime is drug-related, not alcohol. You know, so why would I want to go in and shut down McDonald's if Arby's is the problem? You know what I mean? And that's exactly what we're doing here.
Well, it's kind of like smoking or anything else. It's a good whipping boy for a group of otherwise impotent and uncreative politicians. That's what it comes down to.
I'm glad you mentioned smoking because
it really does. It sounds like you're trying to clean up the neighborhood. It sounds like, you know, until you actually think about it, and that's what it is. It's just a cheap and easy way for an otherwise uncreative, uninventive politician to look like they're doing something.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned smoking as an example of that, because I tell you what, right here in Louisville, first time they tried a smoking ordinance, you know, then Churchill Downs had an exemption. That was a no-no. They let Churchill Downs off the hook. And then you went to the bingo halls and places like that and restaurants. You had to have a smoking and a non-smoking section. Then he went into the bingo halls and said, okay, you have to have separate entrances, separate facilities, and ventilated facilities. And these places went out and spent thousands and thousands of dollars. And then they came back and said, no smoking at all. After they spent the money, you know, before they could even decide what they wanted to do. And the whole point I'm trying to get at is this middle council is overstretching and overregulating everything. They want to control behavior. They want to control adult choices and adult behavior. And that is wrong constitutionally. That's not liberty. That's not freedom. If you want a good example of Barack Obama's daggone mindset on a local level, come visit Louisville, folks, and see what the Louisville Metro Council and all their little idiotic buddies do in every branch of government here. It's insulting. It is so wrong, and people just sit here and take it. I don't get that. I don't get that at all, but I do get this. We've got to take a quick break.
Well, they want to control behavior unless you're skimming off the top from the public tax dollars and enriching your own family members and laundering money to, you know, put in your own pocket and stuff.
Jim King, Tom Owen, and
they'll say it's a bad thing, but they won't do anything about it.
Yeah, Jim
and
King,
I gotta say this
Tom
real quick.
And a couple others. Go ahead.
I got to say this real quick because I got to leave right after this. They're addressing symptoms and not solving the problem. Your Section 8 thing, you didn't solve the crime. You didn't solve the problems in that community. You just moved the problem somewhere else. If you're going to solve problems, solve problems. Band-Aids and trying to treat symptoms is not solving the problem.
Amen, brother. I agree. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back. You listen to the Ed Sprinkster Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned. We got a lot more going forward.
Oh, being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Sprinkster of the My View Matters Radio Show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make us...
So you're driving down the road, minding your own business, and bam, something hits your windshield and leaves a ding or even worse. Has this happened to you? Don't worry, folks. Help is here. Huntsman Auto Glass is family-owned and operated right here in Louisville. Huntsman Auto Glass only uses original equipment manufacturer replacement glass, and in most cases, any repair or replacement is paid for by your auto insurance. That's right. No deductible, no cost to you. Call Huntsman Auto Glass at 502-214-8566 or go to huntsmanautoglass.com for more info. Huntsman Auto Glass, where they will fix your smash in a flash. Tell them Ed sent you. At 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334 if you're in the Louisville area. And, you know, I tell you, there's always a lot to talk about. Tonight is no different. We spent the first part of this show talking about this idiotic liquor store debate at the Metro Council. You know, and we've got other things we need to talk about as well, Ed. I tell you, we've got another story coming out that came out late last week. The Louisville Board of Waterworks approved a salary of $238,403 for James Bramall. For you guys who don't know who Bramall is, he is the vice president of Louisville Water Company's production operations and chief engineer since 2007. He just got a hell of a raise from $154,000 to $238,000 a year and to take over the Louisville Water Company. You know, Ed, I've got problems because the Louisville Water Company is actually a private business. However, the stock is 100% owned by Metro Louisville. So they do the old raises, all the money goes to Metro Louisville, all that stuff. You know, I'm starting to wonder about all of these damn raises and these high salaries. I don't care if you are the CEO. This is essentially, for all intents and purposes, a public company. What do you think about that?
Well, I think, you know, given the scope of the operation and the and the revenue and the expenses, you know, the size of the thing, I don't think the salary's unreasonable. You know me, I'm the guy that'll sit back and say, you know, when we talk about like how much money they lost and they're down in swaps and when we think there's mismanagement and stuff. You know what? If the guy manages the thing well, and we, you know, every one of the, you know, better part of a million customers don't see their water rates go up and the quality stays up, you know, it's a monumental. It's a huge enterprise. I'd give him $1 million, but you know, if we're going to pay him, I wouldn't pay him a dollar if he's going to mismanage it. So,
well, the problem is though,
$250,000. I mean, gosh, you know, if he's smarter than the past administration of the company, and let's just say he didn't, you know, Louisville Water and the MSD didn't get all caught up in those swaps and lose millions and millions and millions of dollars, this guy would have paid for himself 20 times over.
Well, see, you've made a distinction here, and I have to point it out because, you know, you just did what a lot of people do. They always mention Louisville Water Company in conjunction with MSD. MSD has lost tons of money on derivatives, interest rate swaps, and everything else, which we've discussed, and we're going to make some more discussions on that in the very near future. But, you know, the thing, Bramall is good friends and was, you know, basically the number two to Greg Heitzman, who ran Louisville Water Company for years and now is director of MSD. And see, here's my problem, because what we are ultimately looking at here, folks, MSD has come under some major scrutiny in recent years over these interest rate swaps, the derivatives, the lost money, the continuing rate hikes and everything else to cover their asses. You know, we bring all of this into play. Greg Heisman was intentionally put at MSD because they're going to try to merge Louisville Water Company and MSD together. And the reason for that is, with all of the negatives with MSD, there is a big calling to put MSD under the Public Service Commission guidelines, where they have to answer to them for any raises they get, just like LG&E does today. And that's where the rubber meets the road, because I think this James Bramall is just logical. He's going to work with Greg Heisman to make this merger, if you will, a reality, at which point Louisville Water Company will be technically the ones buying MSD. So MSD becomes a completely private organization, even though the city of Louisville gets 100% of the stock and all the daggone proceeds from it. So, you know, I think this is the step towards that. I don't understand why we're keeping, you know, everything as is, but I've got some major concerns about it going forward. And mark my words, in the next year, you're going to see some serious talk, not just speculation, but some serious talk about this merger and Louisville Water Company buying MSD, which for all intents and purposes, the city of Louisville owns MSD anyway. So that's something to look forward to. And I tell you, we've got some other stuff really too, because we another thing that's going on in Louisville right now, and we've heard so many things from people across the country when it comes to Time Warner Cable, you know, that we kind of expected to have some problems when they came here. But unfortunately, Time Warner Cable has really dropped the ball. The level of service, the quality of services, everything compared to what we have with Insight Communications has gotten steadily worse and steadily in decline. And, you know, I say that knowing that I'm a Time Warner Cable subscriber, but I have no other options. According to some customers, they're paying more money now than they did with Insight, and they're losing a lot of their service, especially Internet and things like that. We have customers complaining constantly that their Internet is running real slow. I'm one of them. It's hard for me to keep this Internet running speed, and I'm paying for the top they've got. You know, they're losing phone calls because everything is now through your modem, including your phone. Cable channels are being distorted or cutting out completely. Mega complaints, and Time Warner sends a guy here that says they're really not getting any complaints. So obviously we've got some problem, a disconnect in the communication there. I'm hearing so much about AT&T U-verse, Ed. Is that something that's going to be coming to Louisville en masse in the near future, or have you heard?
Well, it seems that I have a few family members that are saying they have U-verse, so I'm thinking it must be here already. It's possible that the Time Warner people, the reason they're not getting complaints is maybe they're deliberately surveying the people who have AT&T and Dish.
There you go. That's a possibility.
Because if they called me and said, "Are you having any problems?" I'd say, "No, it's all good unless the game's real heavy."
Well, there you go. And see, that's a big thing because, you know, that's one of the things. We're talking about the Metro Council spending all this time on a ridiculous liquor store ban for 2 hours a night, you know, but they're doing everything they can to stifle any competition with Time Warner Cable. Insight had a monopoly here in Louisville because we would not really allow any competition to come in. Why? Because of Metro Council, Metro TV, the city of Louisville, they were getting all of this free benefit without having to pay for it from the cable company, and Insight was glad to do it so they could keep the monopoly. So nobody wanted to mess with them. Time Warner Cable, if you remember, when they came in, they had a big fight with the city of Louisville over all these free services that they were getting from Insight. Time Warner wasn't willing to do all of that. They came to some kind of an agreement, but it wasn't as bad as what we're paying, and it was certainly not as good as the deal Insight had. So, I almost wonder if we aren't reaping the rewards. And this is where the Metro Council should be stepping in. They should be stepping in to create competition and make a business-friendly environment that's going to help create jobs. And this is where they're dropping the ball, and this is another example of that. Enough about Louisville, man. I've got to move on. I've got to get at least one state story in here that I think you're going to love. Our crybaby in the governor's office, Steve Beshear, is whining and bawling like a 2-year-old because Florida Governor Rick Scott has actually sent out letters attempting to lure companies from Kentucky to Florida. Can you imagine the audacity of such a thing, Ed?
I'd do it if I was a governor.
Well, of course you would. And Governor Beshear does.
That's one of the things you're supposed to do. I mean, you know, it's our governor's whining and complaining, but, I mean, it goes on all over the place. And sometimes sometimes it might piss you off the way they do it, but sometimes it's just plain old funny. You know, it's like when you get up around Indiana and Illinois and Wisconsin and things like that. I travel that area quite a bit, and it's kind of funny when you see the, they put billboards facing traffic. Like, you're coming out of Illinois, there's billboards that'll be on your way out, you know. Indiana, open for business, you know. Hey, Wisconsin, open for business. Yeah, hey, we're not broke.
Well, I mean, that's exactly it.
They,
Steve Beshear does
the
same thing
all the time. I mean, they do it all the time. Sometimes they do it straight up in your face, like Rick Scott mm-hmm. do it, and sometimes they do it. They simply make sure that you know that the tax rates are lower in a state, or that the state is more fiscally sound, so the likelihood of a tax rate in the future is lower. And sometimes they go right at you, and they will offer tax incentives and everything sometimes it's just letters and little like, hey, we're a better place to work. And sometimes they go right at you with money. That's just the way it is. And Beshear and Abramson just need to deal with it. Because when you take the company from some other place, you give them a tax incentive to relocate somewhere, you know, you give them some sort of tax abatement, then that's what you did. You took that job away from somebody. When GE brings a bunch of jobs back, and they get $10 million, $100 million tax abatement, then that's exactly what you did. You want to
Well, that's what makes it so funny, though.
You want to stand there with the pictures taken, and you want to say, hey, look, we're bringing jobs back. But you know what? You took them from somewhere, and you bought them. You bought them, and you bribed them, and you took it away from somebody. But it's a good thing when you win, but you whine like a baby when you lose. It's time to grow up.
That's exactly it. See, that's the whole thing, because, you know, Beshear is now looking like a whiny-ass titty baby, and it reflects on the state of Kentucky. If he is our leader, to go out there and cry about doing the same damn thing that he does every day is beyond hypocritical. It's laughable. That just goes to show you more and more how much of a clown this guy and Jerry Abramson really are. You know, we need all we get. But, you know, he did point out the obvious. He said that Kentucky's tax policies are not working, and our unemployment rate is stagnant. And he pointed out the fact that Florida has cut over 2,500 regulations. We continue, it looks like we want to add 2,500 most of the time, and they've cut taxes 25 times.
Especially if you're a liquor store in the first through seventh districts.
There you go. Thank you.
There you go.
And he's also pointed out that Florida has cut taxes 25 times, while paying down the state debt. We continue increasing our state debt. We continue bringing more and more regulations in. We continue raising taxes. Now, the governor of each state is the CEO, if you will, of that state. If you're a good businessman, of course you're going to go out and try to get new business. It makes sense. I just thought that was an interesting story because, you know, Steve Beshear does the same thing. The problem is Steve Beshear has nothing to sell. Him and his Democratic buddies over the last 50 or 60 years have totally destroyed Kentucky. We talked with Chris Holby last week about the pension crisis that's looming in Kentucky. And, you know, these are things that are going to get much, much, much worse. So, you know, we do have to pay attention to this stuff going forward. I just thought it was an interesting story. And here's another interesting story. The average American household is earning less today than when the so-called Great Recession ended 4 years ago. According to a report that was released last week, Americans' households' income has fallen 4.4% since the so-called Great Recession was over. That's pretty alarming. When you couple that with some of the things we were pointing out last week, you know, with states like Hawaii, where, you know, your welfare benefits total up to be $60,000 a year if you're on welfare in Hawaii, you know, $45,000 a year on the Northeast Coast. You know, it's very alarming. If we're making less money and welfare recipients are making more money, we've got a disturbing trend that has to be changed. I thought that was a pretty interesting contrast. How about you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I can see the, you know, with with a soft job market, and when you look at the net picture, you know, people trying not to hire full-time, you know, businesses being unsure. I can see the – in recessions, they don't end real quick and real neat, so there's definitely going to be some lag. So, yeah, I mean, there's a continued erosion. People are still pulling back and trying to, you know, pay down their personal debt, which means consumption, you know, it's not going to skyrocket, which is, you know, it's not going to, you know, based in a consumption-based economy. That's going to be fewer jobs. But, you know, the other thing, like you said, it's too bad I missed that welfare one, because I have actually seen that in the workplace where people, you know you're competing against it. Somebody gets all sorts of benefits, you know, you can look at them and you can tally it up, and you get a good idea as an employer what somebody's getting for nothing. And then when you offer them, you know, $12, $13 an hour or whatever to open up, they look at that and think, well, it only represents a little more than I'm getting right now. And wait a minute, you expect me to put in 40 hours and it's only going to improve my lot, you know, whatever, $50 a week?
Right.
Yep, that is a huge crimp, especially for small business. Everything hits small business harder. So, yeah, I wish I'd have been in for that one. But absolutely, I can see the recession. Of course, they say the recession's over and they base that on gross national product and all that other fun stuff. But, you know, hell, they count Wall Street in on that. They, you know, Main Street America, not so much. It's the recession's still going. People are still trying to get their debts paid down, you know, yours truly included, you know, because we're nervous about the future. People are saving up money. Baby boomers are worried, trying to cut back on spending. So with all that contraction, yeah, the recession's not over on Main Street. And the income erosion and the hours erosion and the benefits erosion and, you know, inflation eroding everything away. Yeah, absolutely.
Startling.
They're staying above water, but they're getting tired.
Well, it's really startling because, you know, there's 13 states that the welfare actually pays more than $15 an hour. You can't pay $15 an hour and compete with that. You know, so, I mean, there's a lot of disturbing things that are coming out. And when we look at this, then we've got to add in some other things here as well. I mean, you know, the Obama and the Democrats are, you know, acting crazy when somebody claims that there's billions of dollars in waste and fraud in the federal budget. But, you know, we had a story come out late last week about an EPA employee stealing $886,000 in tax dollars from the EPA itself. You know, and the EPA, of course, they get a raise every year and how much they're allowed to spend, just like all government agencies do. So, you know, I mean, we do have to start paying attention to the little things. And, you know, we just don't – this administration, for some reason, just does not seem to want to get that. We also have some more disturbing things. According to WND, they've got official records from the Deos Morsi government in Egypt that is showing monthly gifts paid for in U.S. dollars given to them by the U.S. government, monthly gift paid to the Muslim Brotherhood leaders in Egypt by the foreign prime minister and foreign minister of Qatar, Hamad bin Jassim bin Jabor Al Thani. You know, we actually have documents now that prove the U.S. was paying millions of dollars in monthly gifts to the Muslim Brotherhood. This is Barack Obama through and through. You know, now we've got proof of this. Is anything being done about it? We're still not talking about treason, you know, and yet we're going to give Bradley Manning or Chelsea Manning, whatever the hell name he wants to talk about today, you know, 35 years in prison for pointing out the obvious things that we're doing wrong. Where is the disconnect, Ed? What's going to happen here?
I have no idea. You know, honestly, you know, I can see sometimes payoffs and stuff like that because in the big picture, it's small. If you can keep a guy from maybe he's an informant, maybe you can turn him. I mean, you know, the government does that with everything from organized crime to spies. So, yeah, I'm not totally aghast at that because, like you say, you know, a couple million bucks here, a couple million bucks there could save you a whole lot more in disruptions down the road if you make a friend out of somebody or at least, you know, whether or not an enemy. Now, as far as, the contradictions, Bradley Manning You know, he does what he does. Snowden does what he does. You know, whistleblowers get sold up the creek. And, of course, Wall Street doesn't get prosecuted for anything. So, you know,
there you
a lot
go.
Of contradictions. A lot of contradictions out there in this government. There's going to be, we don't expect anybody to be perfect, you know, and perfectly consistent to be, you know, that's fair. But, yeah, when everybody's watching, you're in a volatile area and you're supporting Muslim Brotherhood, you're rattling sabers about, you know, Syria and gas. And, you know, you can't ever seem to sit down and have a rational discussion with somebody from Iran. And, it's just this lack of coherence, I think, whether it's in the way they conduct themselves ethically, the way they stomp on whistleblowers, or just the foreign policy. I mean, this is, you know, whether you loved him or hate him, Reagan pretty much, you know, at least for the better part until Iran-Contra, he was pretty well focused, and you knew what he was going to say, and you knew what he stood for. The same thing, you could say that for Bush or Clinton or anybody up to this administration, but you know, you may not like it. But, you know, as I sit here bouncing from one subject to another, I guess it's a natural reaction. I have no idea what these guys are going to do next. I have no idea what they stand for. You know,
I think you're right.
They're all over the place.
I think you're right because, you know, when you look at Bradley Manning and Edward Snowden, for example, you know, a spy to me, by definition, is somebody who obtains government secrets, you know, that they sell or on behalf of an enemy territory or an enemy country, you know. So if you have an American, you know, taking our secrets and selling them to Russia, that's a spy, you know. But when you talk about Edward Snowden and Bradley Manning, these guys didn't sell these secrets to everybody else. They gave, Bradley Manning gave the evidence to WikiLeaks of the atrocities and the lies that we were being fed here, and Edward Snowden told the American people what was going on. So, you know, they didn't sell this to foreign governments. You know, they came clean for the American people. So they're not a spy. That's a whistleblower for me. And, you know, and it's interesting because you talk about what Barack Obama and them are going to do next, and you never know. We have a great comment. Barack Obama told Americans Friday that federal aid is reserved for citizens. Federal aid is reserved for citizens because a 1996 law bars foreigners and recent immigrants from most means-tested products. Now, here's the thing. If federal aid is only reserved for citizens, and I'm assuming that's welfare, all federal aid involved, medical care, everything, why his deputies have continued to draft regulations that give taxpayer-funded subsidies to foreign students and to millions of others illegal immigrants, primarily when you look at Obamacare. When you look at a lot of this stuff and you start paying attention to what's really going on, it does become disturbing. The 1996 law is clearly being ignored. And Obamacare is going to escalate even more if Washington tries to rewrite the immigration laws because, let's face it, we're going to add more people to the bill. So, you know, We're gonna double basically if the Senate immigration bill, and this is Republicans, you know, are sitting here trying to fight this, but the Democrats control the Senate. The Senate immigration bill, if it becomes law, is going to double the inflow per year of illegal immigrants into this country. We've got to start really paying attention to that. We're going to go from 11 million illegal immigrants to what they actually agree is a good number. I personally think that number is double that, probably 22 million or better. But they'll all agree to 11 million. If they approve the Senate immigration bill, then you're going to increase immigration to the U.S. to 46 million in 20 years. And right now we have 20 million Americans that are unemployed or underemployed. So what's that going to do to the job market? What's that going to do to the government dollars? Where's the tax money going to come from to fund all of this? You know, there are so many things here. And I find it interesting. Wow, we really do have to start wrapping up. I find it interesting. You made one comment a minute ago, and you mentioned Iran. Iran seems to be a central player in a hell of a lot of what we're dealing with right now, primarily Syria. And, we really don't have the time to do that story justice. We'll have to cover that tomorrow night. But, you know, a lot of people think that Iran is using Syria as the playground to push the U.S. and see how far they're willing to go. What do you think about that real quick?
Well, I don't think it's just Iran. I posted something the other day that, you know, Russia, of course, being the largest oil exporter and natural gas exporter, an ally of Syria, and you know, and they're admittedly they're number two in the superpower race with you know with us and China and stuff. I think in the big chess game, sometimes I think everybody knows Assad is kind of in trouble. You can't have that kind of internal dissent and really hang on maybe without butchering half your people. So you know, I think they see that that's gone. But in the meantime, I kind of wonder if they're trying to, you know, they're looking at it. And they know just as much as we do what these wars are costing us in terms of people and public opinion and productivity and money. And I kind of wonder if the other guys that are, you know, sometimes completely on the opposite side of us, and some that just may have an interest somewhere else, you know, like maybe Russia wouldn't mind seeing a Mideast war drive the oil prices up. You know, I wonder if I really think guys like Putin and Assad and the new ruler in Iran and stuff and the mullahs that control him. I wonder if they're better chess players, and they're just putting a few moves on the board and setting us up for checkmate a little further down the road. Not that we can't hold our own on the battlefield, but I wonder if they're sitting back thinking, you know, could we possibly draw them into a war, just another protracted Afghanistan or Iraq, you know. $3 trillion later, their military is collapsing, their morale is collapsing, and we don't have to worry about them anymore. They just overextended like the Roman Empire and fell apart.
Communism collapsed because of financial considerations. Communism didn't collapse for any other reason. Everything that collapsed throughout history has been financial related. We are strongly, we are so strong going down that path of financial collapse. It just amazes me nobody is alarmed. And that's because the Democrats, I should say the liberals, not all liberals are Democrats, not all liberals are Republicans, but the liberals, you know, have done an excellent job selling stupidity to the smallest mind that doesn't want to think outside the box. If we don't think that what's going on with Obamacare and the other government programs is hurting us, you know, ask yourself, why is mainstream media ignoring the UPS story about coverage for spouses of non-union employees or cut medical coverage on them and discontinue them because they can't afford it? Delta Airlines has just made an announcement about Obamacare. Fox News is the only one that's covered this one. But Delta Airlines made the announcement about Obamacare that it's going to cost them an extra $100 million increase next year alone in health care costs. Where that money is going to come from. So, you know, and how many jobs are going to be lost. So there's all things. We are on the backside. It's time for a final thought. How are you, sir? Talk to me.
You know, final thoughts. I've been on the road a bit trying to make money, you know, pay taxes. I know Dale hates to hear that second part. But, you know, I'm going to have to think about it for our show tomorrow because I did get a little tumbled there because I kind of was trying to, kind of like a cat with a laser dot. You know, you're trying to figure out what this administration's direction is. I mean, they're smashing whistleblowers like bugs, and you know, and literally the whole country's worried if Snowden's going to knock off. You know, they drink a poison cup of coffee or something. We're locking Manning up, but then again, our own attorney general won't prosecute the too big to fail banks. He won't prosecute. I can't even think of the movie, the gun running movie. Yeah, it's Fast and Furious. Yeah, and it's amazing what sometimes they prosecute what they do. And then you look at are we NSA is collecting data against potential terrorists, and then on the other hand we're giving gifts to potential terrorists, and it's just I'll probably just have to drink a beer or something and calm down, or take a Ginkgo and just try to make some sense out of it if there's any direction to be had in this administration. And you know, I think when we get down to it historically, we're going to look back and think, did these guys really know what they were doing? Or was it, you know, did they wake up every day with the attention span of a goldfish and go, well, don't remember what happened yesterday, but let's wing it for today. And you know, you don't know what you're going to get. And I think it bothers people. In trying times when you're, you know, when people know that they're, you know, their house isn't worth what it is and their credit card bill's too damn big, you know, they know what's on the table. And they look at their government we don't know what these guys are going to do next. We don't know if they're going to cut interest rates or bump interest rates. We don't know if they're going to, you know, if we don't know. And it's just, that's frustrating.
And I totally agree. You know, with that, I mean, all I can say is this. You know, we've got a lot of things right now that are frustrating. We don't know what we're getting into anywhere. And unfortunately, that's from the local level all the way to the national level. You know, our government at every level today is so out of control and so out of whack. And I would love to say that it's just real or it's just key, but it's not. I talk to people all over this country every single day from New York to California and, you know, everywhere in between. And they all have the same complaints. That nobody seems to care in government anymore, that the politicians are destroying this place. And this is not the America I knew. This is not the America that I served my country to fight for many years ago. You know, and I would hope that somewhere along the line we get some pride back and start realizing we can do so much better. That's it for tonight, folks. Tomorrow night, don't forget, be right back here at 7 o'clock as usual. Tomorrow night, Wednesday night and Thursday night, and, of course, Sunday night. So, you know, Sunday through Thursday nights at 7 o'clock, we're here for you, and we'd love to hear from you. That's it for tonight. Mr. Martin, have a great night, and I'll talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
You do the same, bud.
All right, take care. Folks, we'll see you. Thanks so much for tuning in. Take care.